Welcome to the Tragedy Academy, a show created to bridge societal divides in a judgment-free zone using candor and humor. My name is Jay, and today we are joined by multimedia artist Heather Eck. How are you doing today, Heather?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here. You're such an interesting and fascinating person.
That's so nice of you to say. Thank you.
So I say fascinating because, you know, that word is not given the respect that it deserves. Sometimes it's made for things that are just fantasy or something like that. Whereas I find it more based in reality, because reality is both parts. And for me, the fact that you have that capability is something that melds both of those two worlds. And I genuinely appreciate that.
I love that. Yeah, it does sort of meld both of the worlds, like the unseen and the seen, and trying to find a way where they connect is interesting to me.
It's very interesting. It's fascinating and it's beautiful. So I'm excited to have you explain what it is that you have come across throughout your life and the gift that you discovered that you have, or however it came to be. And I'm really excited to hear about it. So why don't you introduce yourself, tell everybody where you're from and what it is that you do.
Sure. So again, thanks for having me. My name's Heather Eck and I am based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I was born in Germany. My dad was in the army, so I'm an army brat. We moved around a lot when I was
a kid. Whereabouts in Germany?
Landstuhl, Germany.
I was born in Bitburg.
No kidding.
Yes, I was. My father was in the Air Force.
No way. Oh, that's so funny. So
it
was
is.
That something that like you like talked about a lot when you were a kid? You were born in such a different place.
I think I tried to wedge it in because I wanted people to like me for a little while. But then after that, it didn't really matter.
Yeah,
the most honest answer I can give as a kid. Yeah. It was a tool I tried to use for about 10 minutes in a hillbilly town where they just looked at me like, why would you even care to tell us about this? I was like, all right, never mind. But
it's one of those
I've always thought it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's one of those things like when people ask, oh, where are you from? You're like, oh, well, I was born in Germany. They kind of go, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're like, do you speak German? I'm like, absolutely not. Not even a little bit. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought this up.
Same.
Like, the fascination
I'm really sorry.
Is just on my birth certificate, Chief.
And that's as far as it goes.
Exactly. I usually bail at that point. I'm like, crap, this didn't go over the way I wanted it to.
Walk it back.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry for interrupting you. I just found it so coincidental.
I love that. No, I was just a really, really creative kid. I was one of those kids that was like super into art. You know, I loved music. I probably told my parents I wanted to be a rock star, you know, a dozen times. And they kind of, you know, were like, okay, well, that's cool, but you're not going to make any money doing that. So, you know, set about on a different path. And so I did, you know, art was always still kind of a part of my world in a lot of different ways. I tried a bunch of little like Etsy businesses and stuff. And then I think I was 39. I was working at a corporate job that was great, paid really well, but I was just exhausted. And it wasn't the kind of thing where like vacation was going to fix it. Getting another job wasn't going to fix it. It just was like unfixable. It's like my spirit was tired. And I worked with a spiritual teacher and she said, you know, what were you like as a kid? And what did you like? And she said, you know, you loved art. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I loved art.
Isn't that sad, dude? It's like a flame just all the way down to that moment just before it goes out. And it just stays there. Almost like one of those crappy, funny birthday candles that it can relight, which is amazing.
Yep.
But it goes down to that, you know, level and you just watch it kind of smolder. And that's what that passion is in childhood that you miss, that you suppress, that are given layers of societal pains that you have to endure that keep you from expressing yourself in the natural ways that you're compelled.
Yeah, totally. Totally. I think that that's one of the things that's so hard about looking at people today. And a lot of the people that I end up encounter, like working with, are the ones that are at the exact same point where I was, where they're like, I just got to do something different. This just isn't the way I want to live my life. And it's because they sort of extinguished this creative passion or this aspect of themselves that they had when they were young that just sort of, like you said, started to burn out.
They were taught to fear it. It wasn't acceptable.
Yeah, very much.
Mm-hmm. It just simply wasn't acceptable to be that human because you weren't going to make it. And what would other people think of you?
Bingo.
Yep. So sad. Like, it breaks my heart. And I'm glad that we're at a place in society now where we're recognizing the arts again, where we're recognizing those flames, those creative, you know, passions that people have throughout, you know, the endeavors on the internet and our ability to communicate now and virtual reality and 3D, you know, this, that, and the other. I'm not the guy to speak on this, but, you know, it's amazing how everything has connected itself, which I don't think is by accident. I think we've been building a connection for a long time. It's just kind of firing it up. It's right now we're, you know, communicating with each other's minds with hangers and tinfoil. The better we get at this, that's what the internet is right now. And the faster and better we get at it, the more it's going to be looking like, you know, a vascular system or some kind of, you know, electrode or whatever. It's going to, electrode, I don't know what the fuck that means. Like, where'd that word come from? So if you guys are going to come at me, come at me. I already beat myself down, right? But it's going to have that pattern, you know, that pulses with our understandings because we're not going to have that socioeconomic divide that keeps you from having the same capabilities as others that's gatekept by college, universities, things like that. A simple piece of paper that, you know, will separate two individuals, but they were socioeconomically divided already before that. It's just a way to oppress. But now knowledge is free. Creativity can be shared, right? And a lot of people are going to face the stark reality that their repetitive things that they've been doing as a hamster all these years are very replaceable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only thing that's so not true. Is the human spirit.
Right. That's right. And it's so interesting too. Like, I saw this video the other day. It was about a beaver that had been rescued. Stay with me. Stay with me on it.
I watched a donkey named Waffles the other day in a video for a while. So I'm with you.
I know. I have a point.
There's no shame here. And I was amazed the entire time.
No, right? Yeah. No, it's awesome. Like, I think we are born to be creative creatures. I think we're born to create. There's this innate knowing within us. And so this video was of this beaver that had been rescued. So it had never been in a lake or a stream. It had never built a dam before. And it started bringing things from within the house, like a Christmas tree. It brought like a broom. It was finding and bringing
all
these things.
It's funny, but it's also very, very, it's a huge clue.
Right.
It's a massive clue.
Yeah.
We don't see some obvious shit. Please continue. Yeah. I know you know what I'm saying.
I do. It was so interesting to me because I was watching it and my spiritual teacher sent it to us and she was like, look at how innately this beaver knew what its purpose was. Its purpose was to build dams. And I think when we're little, we sort of come into the world with this, you know, natural curiosity, but we also, I think our spirits sort of gravitate towards the things that we're good at or that we want to be doing in this life. And then something happens where we sort of lose sight of it and we go about on a different path and we sort of leave behind these things that we intuitively know are what we could be doing, what we, you know, could contribute to the world, how we can help each other. And we sort of squash it. And we go, well, what will people think? How will I pay my bills? And, you know, how do I make it in this world? And it's fascinating to me to think about that.
Well, I believe that it's a method of creating characters that are to defend you in judgment. I think that we make masks. I think that our mask will create one for each individual interaction that we have over time. Now, we can group them. We can have an interview mask. We can have, you know, a friendship mask. We can have an I hate you mask. Okay. We can have a victim mask. We can have all sorts of things. We have victim voices. We have angry voices. We have voices for interviews, voices for your mom, all these things. There are so many different things that we create that we lose who we are immediately because we begin a self-defense mechanism of creating what is impossible to maintain for long periods of time. But we stack it. We go for it. I like to think that, imagine being inside one of those jungle gyms that they had as a kid, right? But it was like a dome. And in those, and it was like triangle shapes all the way around it with the poles. And I imagine a child being able to look through the entire dome with no restriction. But as time goes on, they have to run out and create a glass pane to protect them from whatever yelled at them through one of those holes or caused pain. And they will create a piece of stained glass that won't let you see what it was that they hurt. And that can be something offensive on it. It can be something sad. It can be whatever it is. And you keep putting this stained glass in different colors all around you, all around you. And then you have to run to each one when you need to use it. If you need to be sad, you got to remember where it's at. You got to remember how to get there. You got to remember where you left off the last time you used it.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to break.
You're going to fall apart.
I go on tangents. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking, like, that's such an incredible analogy for what we experience. And I think what you're describing, like, I would put it as like our ego, right? Like our ego.
It is. 100%.
Yeah.
I don't use words like that a lot because people tend to dismiss them at this day and age because they're attached to things like, you know, psilocybin, plant medicine, which is amazing. But also, you know, people have put Birkenstocks in a cat cork.
I know. I understand that.
And you can't do it. As much as I love my Birkenstock brethren, but at the same time, you know, sometimes people get annoyed with them. So you don't say the words ego and things like that. So I just try to pick and choose my vocabulary, but you are 100% dead on. That is the ego. If it were a mask, you'd be painting your stripes all over it and you could keep it all as one would be the true you. But instead you take each one of those, you could say they're masks in a bag over your shoulder that you have to reach in and pull out each time and put back. And after you create a new character, you get another one. And eventually what happens? You're just hobbled over. You've got this sack on your shoulder that all you had to do the entire time was just let it go. You crippled yourself.
Yeah.
You held on to something that was never, ever, ever needed. You were already perfect. You were carrying a sack of masks to protect yourself. And nothing more. When none of them were needed, you had the original mask.
Right.
The original mask was good the way it was. All the other ones were just paint.
Right. Yeah. I think there's, I think it's Glennon Doyle who wrote a book called, I think it was Love Warrior. And she talked about sending your representative out. You know, like you didn't really show up as yourself. You showed up as your representative. And it takes so long. Isn't that good?
That's really good. Rep. I like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. People are like split personalities, multiple personalities. I was like, check your voice on the phone after three different calls, you idiot.
It's true. It's so true. That's right.
You talk to customer service and then your mom and see if you treated them with the same decency. You were two different people.
Different representatives from the call center.
Different reps, man. I have a counter in there. They check in and out, hopefully. You don't want two representatives at the same time at the table.
I think that's so true. I think we spend a lot.
Bob, you're done, man. Go back.
You're done. Beat it.
Too funny.
Yeah.
Synesthesia. I want to know what this is. I have done some read up on it, but it's super fascinating. Again, that word, but it is because there's a small fraction of the world that experience this and nobody else.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And honestly, I didn't have the vocabulary for it until just recently. Because I think I just took for granted that what I was experiencing, everybody experienced, you know, like I would, so synesthesia is basically where you, your senses get crossed in your brain. And so if you smell something, your brain smells, you like, you'll smell it, but you also might process it as a color or a sound or a shape or something. So there are, I think, only 4% of the population have this. And there are, I think, close to 80 something forms of it. And it's interesting, a lot of artists have synesthesia. It's sort of, I guess, one of those things where it's how our brains take information and then sort of how we like contextualize it or process it and then create with it. So it's,
you're,
it's,
you're cluing me into some things about myself as you say things. Like it's kind of okay. Cool, right? The way that when I was reading through this, I didn't start creating music until I was probably 42. I'm 47 now. And I have no musical background. But I produce all my own tracks. And they're soundscapes and music mixed, and they're emotional mixes from guests that have been on the show.
Awesome.
I haven't really ever spoke about this too much. They're called tragedy tracks.
Oh my gosh.
There's a whole bunch on Spotify. They're short, like a minute, minute 15. But their stories to me were something that I could only paint with sound. And I've never, ever said this on the show until now. And it feels like there's something, because you can hear color.
Uh-huh.
It's why I've been really fascinated about talking to you. You can hear color. Yeah. You can smell sound. You can. I was explaining to somebody the other day that pain is, and like, it's a high pitched, like a guitar.
Yeah.
It's a very painful, high pitched guitar if it's your back.
I feel like you have synesthesia.
I also can't eat weird shit. Like I can't put things together. Like I don't have, like I have texture problems in my mouth. Like okay. There's all sorts of bizarreness that I hadn't been able to put a finger on that have been kind of described through psychological diagnoses, because I believe that some are right. And also they're just describing things from a different lens. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side is like spiritual. And then the other side is like, well, maybe it's post-traumatic and its abilities to hyper read, you know, your surroundings, you know, to protect yourself from some kind of danger, no matter what it is. There's like so many different explanations. But at the end of the day, you found a way to take those blended senses and use them as art.
Right. Yeah.
Can you describe what it is that you do?
I didn't mean to do that.
I kind of jacked the show for a second.
No,
but
well,
it just,
I think it's
kind
cool.
of dawned on me in that moment. I'm like, wait a minute. There are shapes and sound. Like I hear shape all the effing time and sound.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I'm like, that's
friend.
Square, that's round, that's flat, that's this. I'm like, that's a triangle, that's a square. Yeah, you can hear it. You just know. And I thought that was something people knew as well.
Right. Me too. That it's so interesting. But I think you just discovered that you have a form of synesthesia, which is really beautiful and powerful. And a lot of art, like Wassily Kandinsky, is a visual artist, and he would paint music. So he would paint what he saw. And if you look at his work, it's a lot of lines and circles and triangles and squares. And so it would be cool for you to check it out.
Oh, son of a bitch. You hear that? I've never even heard of this person. I need to see this.
You need to see it.
It's so fascinating. But that was something I never got to exercise growing up poor and, you know, a very rural community and, you know, and this typical family struggles that come along with that, right? So they don't hand you a effing saxophone. They don't give you a keyboard. And you probably got your ass beat if they gave you a recorder. Like,
oh, God.
Can't wake somebody up for the hangover with that one.
Oh, my gosh, the recorder.
But you never get to tap into what you don't know.
Right.
And you have to go back to being a child. So what is it that you see that allows you to put that on canvas?
see. So I have a couple different things going on that's really interesting. And I feel like as time goes by, I learn more and more about myself and how this works. And so I'm really open to just like unpacking it and adding more stuff in as I go. But so I have synesthesia. So that means that when I smell something, taste something, hear something, my brain sort of sees it. Like if I hear a song that's really upbeat, my brain sort of shows me a choreography of what the dance moves would look like in the song.
Wow.
And so a lot of synesthetes will see color with a day of the week or something. I associate the colors that I see with the chakra system. And so when I meet somebody and I see a color for them, I go, oh, well, I see that you're purple. Well, purple to me tells you that you spend a lot of time up in your crown. And so you're probably really connected or spiritual or you want to be. And so I make paintings that sort of tell the story of either a feeling that I'm trying to convey about something that's happening in the world, or I create paintings specifically for someone that tells them where they dwell in their spiritual, you know, physical or emotional body, and then what color will be healing for them. So how they can use color to help themselves find balance and support.
That's beautiful. Like absolutely beautiful, because it's allowing people to see that we all have a unique interpretation of the human experience. There's so much misunderstood or not known about each individual experience and the ability to process reality. We take for granted that you may be in a larger slice of the population than you know. For the simple fact that you describe that you had to be told it wasn't that way for everyone else, right? So right. You only know when you know, right? So it's funny. I have something that's called aphantasia.
Okay.
I didn't know what the hell that was until I came across, and it's I'm going to butcher the shit out of this. If you remember the study or you know it, you jump in, you know, you guys out there. But that said, I'm going to give you the long and short of it is there was an architect with a brilliant mind who could visualize all of his creations as he made them, right? He had a fantastic imagination that he could see and create these structures artistically, however he did it. And he went in for a simple medical procedure. And after the medical procedure, was shocked because that was no longer there. He no longer had a mind's eye, a visual one. He was no longer able to see, if I'd say, imagine an apple, then you would see an apple, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I hate you for that. Because I have no idea what that is. I always thought everybody was speaking hypothetically. I have nothing there. Like, I just know what an apple looks like. I have no, like, roller coaster of the mind that I can close my eyes.
So you
doesn't
don't see
exist.
It? No, you don't see know. It
I don't
in your
see
mind's eye.
Anything. How are you guys seeing it? What are your eyes rolling backwards? I'm so confused by this. That's how it feels to me. I didn't know. They're like, Jay, visualize a beach when you're meditating. And I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about, man? Like, I don't get it, but I'll play like I'm at the beach. Am I supposed to like sit back on my shoulders? Am I supposed to like, pretend like I'm in the sun? Because I don't get what you guys are doing here, but I'll play along. Let's play some beach sounds in the room. Yay, we're at the beach. I don't see shit. Like, not even
oh
a little
gosh.
Bit. Lights out, no problem. I do, however, have terrifying dreams and nightmares.
So where do and you see those in your mind's eye when you're dreaming,
I'm
though, right?
I'm supposing it's there, depending on where there is in a dream or a nightmare, right?
Wow, yeah. That's so interesting. I wonder, though, if you experience it in a different way. Like if somebody says, you know, visualize an apple, does anything happen? Do you see like a red square or do you see anything?
Nothing. Just know what an apple looks like. I don't even know how else to explain it. Like, I'm not missing anything. At first, I was like, it shocked the shit out of me because I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, this is not fair, God. Like, why are they having like these lucid dreams and trips and going on all these like ayahuasca things and they're seeing entities? And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, that's amazing. Show me how to get there because I don't know where this is at. I have like a light bright with two pegs in that bitch. There's nothing going on.
Stop it. That's hysterical.
I don't know where that came from, but
I remember the light bright. I immediately visualized
it. It was so sad. It got sadder as time went on and pegs disappeared. And then somehow you found it at Goodwill with a curse word on it and three pegs.
You could never buy the replacement pegs either. It was so frustrating.
Yeah, I did. You might be the only one that tried to order replacement pegs for their light bright.
If somebody did, it would have been me.
Which I love. That makes you super fascinating. I want to hear more about the light bright. No, I'm kidding.
You're taking me back to the 80s.
I love it there. Such a simpler time.
It was great.
Holy shit. Sorry. This is, the logo is the Sock and Buskin Masks. It is tragedy and comedy. It is a combination of who we are. That's why we love laughing on the show and talking about serious things at the same time. So I'm going to let you continue. Tell me about this. Your art. We went through, I actually wanted to talk about clairsentience, but we went right in there. So It didn't even matter. So what I'd like to do is give you an opportunity to discuss what it is you're trying to do now. What kind of, are you trying to affect some change, give back in a certain way with your art? Maybe you can give us some of that, you know, explain what's going on with that.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for that. I definitely feel like there's this aspect of healing in my work that I want to be able to share with people, right? Through color, through art. I think anytime you invite beauty into your space, it offers you something through music, through art, through dance, through whatever it is. And so, you know, I sort of think that like my work is not necessarily, I mean, I would love for it to be the kind of thing you hang on your wall above your couch, right? But I also
think
that...
Why wouldn't you? I was looking through it today and I was like, what am I going to choose? Like, I would definitely put a piece of your art. You think I... Okay, so wait a minute. You're telling me that Home Goods deserves more space over someone's couch than your art?
No.
Whatever. Love, be well, whatever, you know, that I drink wine to stay on time or whatever the fuck it says somewhere. Like, or it's always wine time. Like, your art should be up there. It means something. Give yourself the credit you deserve.
Thank you. You have to remind me because I am definitely self-deprecating.
People do that shit to me all
that.
The time. I'm my worst critic.
I know, right? I know. It's definitely like one of those things where, you know, people connect to art because it makes them feel a certain way. And so what I like to help people understand is that there's a reason why you're attracted to a particular color, or there's a reason why you're attracted to a piece of mine, because it's offering you something. It's showing you something maybe that you didn't know was there. Or, you know, maybe you're somebody who's struggling with grief and you're attracted to a color orange because it helps you feel uplifted, or it helps you feel, you know, more optimistic about something. So on the one side, there's sort of this desire to educate people about color, because I think we sort of take for granted where color shows up. And especially in today's world, where we're stripping color out of our homes. So many people are moving to these beige, you know, white spaces, which is fine, but they're sort of removing color from their lives. And we need color. It's important. It is absolutely one of those ways that we feel better and that we feel inspired and that we want to do good in the world. And so that's the one, you know, that's one thing that I really want people to understand about the work that I create.
And I think that's beautiful. And I think you are affecting change through it. It doesn't have to happen on a massive scale the first time it's introduced to the world, right? It's the ripples that are created from it. And it doesn't have to stop or fade out. it can ignite the next set of ripples that are larger and larger and larger. It doesn't fade away. It gains strength. And by putting that out there, you're affecting change every single time. I find that a lot of people look at art for what people will see as an expression on their face while they're consuming it. And that's not how you consume art. We care what people think we think about the art.
Right.
Are we frowning at it? Are we smiling at it? Is everybody else smiling at it? Is everybody else applauding this? Is everybody else this, that, the other? You know, until eventually the artists themselves are looking backwards over their shoulder to watch the expressions of the person that they're trying to paint on the canvas that they're not even fucking looking at.
Yes, 100% to all of that.
For their approval. And what do you get then? You get a fucking painting that looks like the elephant with the trunk, with the paintbrush in its hand. Like, that's what you're going to do if you're painting looking over your shoulder backwards.
Which, by the way, I still think
those are amazing. When the elephant paints the pictures with the trunk and like that, I'm like, dude, that's so cool.
It is awesome. See, we're all creative.
100%.
No, that's so true. I think 100%. That's the tension, right, for artists everywhere, is creating the work that you want to create for the sake of making it, and then creating the work that you hope that somebody will look at and appreciate. And I think that's where I've used the word ego again, where you kind of get that tension between my ego wants to be accepted. I want to be, accepted by everybody. Then I also just have this, innate desire to create. And so that's always the tension there. Like, I want my work to be hung above somebody's couch, but I also want my work to live in a different echelon where it offers you something different than what you would get at a Home Goods, if that makes sense.
Because it will. Right. So music as an example, right? There are beautifully talented and amazing session musicians all over the world. They put out some of the most amazing music. They support some of the greatest artists that have ever existed on massive scales. They stand in backup. They do all these jobs and roles. But for some reason, they're never seen. Even though they're putting out an almost identical product to the star. But who's the star? Why is the star different? Because the star isn't looking over their shoulder. The star is singing in the dark. The star is trying to make their art and we're watching. Silently watching. For a reason, because they're creating from a place of passion that we all have. And we're mesmerized by it because the simple fact that they have the actual strength to do it in front of all of us. That's what we love. We love that they have the capability of being so in tune with themselves that they can stand up there and act like themselves on a big, massive scale. And we're jealous and we love it and we want to emulate it. We want to do all those things. Then we create products around it and we market it and we smash it into the ground and we get album 2 and 3 and they things suck and they suck more. And then they start to just become like posters on the goddamn counter or on the coffee table because it's reproduced shit. One of the things I love about your art is it's by the individual. It's by the scenario. It's by the feeling. Right? They're fingerprints.
Yeah, that's right. They are. That's right.
What's better
than
that?
You're exactly right.
I want to hang a fingerprint over my coffee or over my couch. I don't want to hang, the same shit everybody else has. What fun is that?
Totally. No, I totally get that. You're right. I think we're looking for that. It's so easy though to get caught up in the the live, laugh, love. You'll laugh at this.
And I'm saying this, but there's some of this shit in my house too. Like,
we all have it.
You have to have some of it. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like a entrance fee to fucking suburban hood. You have to pay the fucking home goods tax.
You do. We all have to go somewhere.
Three dumbass quotes on your wall somewhere in your house.
In our kitchen, we have a sign that says party of three because it's my husband, my son, and I. So guilty, right? Guilty.
It says in this house there shall be tacos, salsa 24/7 or something like that. It's blasphemous as shit.
but it's made you
like
happy.
Like, in this house there shall be tacos. Like, it's true. You take away my white American tacos, I'm gonna be pissed.
I'll be mad.
They're not special tacos. There's nothing good about them. It's like, you know, it's cheese.
Are there any bad tacos though?
No, there really aren't. Well, I don't know, man. I've seen some pretty gross tacos out there. When you start introducing things from the sea, I kind of start to check out. I'm like,
no, like sea bass tacos.
I feel like these don't go together. It's getting a little. But I'm a kid that wanted a divided plate.
Okay, I gotcha.
That weird
kid. You needed the sections, yeah.
I did need the sections, man. Get your peas out of my mashed potatoes. It's over. You might as well throw the meal away and start over.
Like, but that's because you have the texture stuff, too.
I do. It sucks. Yep. My wife gets mad at me, like, because I'm like, I can't eat that. She's like, why can't you eat it? What do you do? I'm like, I promise I can't. It's not right in my mouth. Like, I don't like it. It's weird. It's textured. I don't want it there.
Oh, my gosh.
Love tomato sauce. Love tomato everything on the planet. Tomato soup. You stick a tomato in my mouth, like sliced. That's the fruit that God chose to blow his nose in. Like, it's so gross. Okra. Fried all day long. You slice that next to me and boil it or whatever they do with it. Oh. Like, I don't want it near me. It's disgusting. I know I'm five.
I was going to say, you're going to hate this, but I'm going to tell you. I am the person that mushes everything together. I know. I'm a weirdo. I'm like the Thanksgiving Bobby sandwich. Like, give me the turkey, stuffing, give it all in one.
Can we still be friends? Cold sandwiches. Yes, we can be. Because my wife is. She eats everything. She's the exact opposite of me. She grew up on an Italian farm mother that, you know, she makes everything from scratch and they eat like escarole. You know what escarole is?
I've heard of it, but is it a vegetable?
Do you remember when lawnmowers used to have that catch on the back of it that held the grass?
Yes.
Imagine taking that and dumping it into a bowl after you've done like a field and then pouring some olive oil on it and some salt and pepper. And chowing down. That's girl. It's just weeds. Like, I don't know what else to call it, but they eat all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I am the toddler at the table. Like, her mom went out. They lived here for like 2 or 3 months. And they went to, she made like this beautiful meal of just shit that I could not put in my mouth. And I was very polite. Like, I picked around some things and, you know, just kind of made my way back to the studio. I was like, all right, I'm out. And she left the house and I was like, uh-oh, she's mad. I don't know what's going on. And then she comes back like 20 minutes later and she had Culver's. She had a burger and fries and a shake for me. She goes, I know you're hungry. I was like, nobody's ever done that burger. I was like, what'd you get for yourself? She's like, no, it's for you.
Oh my gosh.
When was the last time somebody went somewhere, got you food, and brought it to you without anything for themselves, without an occasion, none of those things? It stopped me. I was like, why don't we do this stuff for people?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, but that's so thoughtful.
Wasn't it? I'm such an asshole not eating, you know, fish with eyes on it.
I get it. That would freak me out too. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
I'm exaggerating. She's a great cook. She makes some amazing things. She makes meatballs the size of my fist, and lasagna and all those things. It's just when I get to the lawn trimming section, I'm like, I'm out. I check out.
You have to tap out.
I can't feel like I'm choking on my vegetables when I'm trying to swallow them. Like, they don't need to have like this much more stem.
I am not a horse.
That's a job. That's not a meal.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. I think you have some sort of synesthesia and some sort of textural.
I think it's closer to autism, but we'll go ahead and go with your direction.
Apparently it is.
I think autism is a description of synesthesia. Yes.
Yeah.
We describe things from different directions as humans and don't realize that we're all describing the same thing. Like, all day long, we will describe something from 10 different directions. Religion is fucking fantastic at this shit. Like, could you imagine, like, if you looked at religion, it would be like 20 people standing around like a half of a globe on the ground, like glass, and all telling you a different story about what they're seeing in the glass. Like, just.
So when I was little, again, I was like always super interested in spirituality, even as like a little kid. And I always imagined a spoke, like a wheel. And all of the spokes led into the same thing in the middle. And so
I
that's
pizza.
How I always imagine. Yeah.
Religion is pizza. I use this analogy on the show all the time. Like, it's all pizza. Every single bit of it, except each slice has a different topping that represent a different religion. But it's still all pizza. And guess what? It all points to the middle, right? Maybe that little plastic table that stops the box from slamming, maybe that's God. Wouldn't that be the ultimate fail? That little plastic table. God bless you. You're doing the Lord's work. I need a t-shirt, guys. If you have the art, send it in. I need a little plastic table with it's holding up the box or the lid. Just doing the Lord's work. Holding up a pizza lid.
Oh my gosh, you're bringing back so many memories. We had those growing up and I used to collect them. It's like I needed to have all of them.
They needed to walk for some reason. I don't know why. Like every time I grabbed it, it had to like walk on the table.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that was. Like, I think we have weird little habits. Like weird little things that we have, like monkey things that we do. Like, as you see them like playing with things with their hands, we do the same shit. Like, and it's exactly the same.
It's the same. And you know, even if you grew up in a different time or a different place, like I've seen articles recently of like, did you do this as a kid? I did. How about you? And so we all sort of have these like little innate things that we did.
Testing your senses, right? Do you remember sitting like in the lunchroom as a kid and your ears and letting the sound of the room go in and out?
Yep. Yep.
I don't know you.
Right. But you would hear it.
You didn't tell me about that.
Yep.
We all test our shit out the same.
We do, because we're feeling our way into like what it's like to be a human.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're absorbing the experience, but you're translating it in a different manner, and you're allowing people to get a view into what they don't get to see, but does exist. Right?
Yeah.
It's there. Yeah. Right? And if somebody's telling you it's there, take a moment, pause, and think about that. Because we don't all see the same. We get a view of this with these colorblindness glasses, right? Colorblind person would never even know they were colorblind unless we told them there were colors, right?
Right.
So you hand them those glasses. What happens to them as soon as they put them on? They damn near collapse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a couple clues to how we take in our surroundings. We're also ungrateful as shit. We should all be ashamed of ourselves the moment we see them crying and looking up at the sky and God and doing these things.
And we're seeing.
Like, bro, it's just a tree. Just a tree.
But they've never seen it.
Just a tree. Fuck.
Do you ever?
That thing's fucking giving you oxygen.
Oxygen. I know. Do you ever just marvel at nature? Like, just marvel at it.
There's a lot of studies now that are saying it's a lot more sentient than we've given it credit for. Is that the correct word? I'm not sure.
I think so.
Like, yeah, like to a certain degree, like plants do. I know that they're finding like ways to, what's the word? Extract musical frequencies from like mushrooms and fungi, yes, and other plants, which is super cool. But there and again, it's almost like proving synesthesia is real.
Right.
Because it's just two different interpretations of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like the sound didn't already exist. The pulse, right, or the energy or whatever created it still existed. All it is a lens to view it through.
It's a different lens.
That's it.
I think that's so cool, though, that people are now more open to viewing things through different lenses.
We're not in a manufacturing box anymore.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
That got broken. Pandemic. Uh-huh. Slowly crumbling, right? Can't put us in a room for 8 hours a day and teach us how to go from block to block and learn the regimen of the world to create more of us, right? You can't continue to do that and teach people homework. Well, that's overtime. Congratulations, you now accept it. Go home with it, take it with you. Your pain should not be just left here, right? Should not be. So we'll let you get ready. And then when you get to real job, where you get to sustain this great nation, or whatever, I'm patriotic. I was in the military. All right, so screw you guys. But it doesn't mean that I'm an idiot and can't see when somebody's got strings on my fucking arms,
mm-hmm,
right? And creating an army of people to replicate. Mm-hmm. We are the fucking widget. That's it. That might as well be the fucking motto. We are the widget.
Right.
Let's create more of the same. More of the same to create more shit. To create more shit. By the way, your art's going to stay. Home Goods is gone. It's all going virtual. How long before we have glasses when we walk into our house that shows us the art that people like on the walls? I don't need to go live, laugh, love if I can change that bitch to eat at Joe's and then, you know, happy birthday, mom. Right? That's gone.
That's gone. Fascinating to me.
In some way, shape, or form, we will come up with a way to make that happen. Right? And at that point, well, the landfills will fucking take a deep breath and sigh relief. Right? Because of all this fucking bric-a-brac that we throw around the world. The artists that will stand the test of time are not the widget artists.
Right.
Because widget art can be made by AI. Because there's no thought in widget art.
Right.
Don't be afraid of AI if you're a true artist. Fuck AI. Yeah. It doesn't touch your product.
It doesn't. No, it really doesn't. Not for me anyway.
And that doesn't mean that AI isn't a good thing.
Right.
It gets us out of having to do the mundane crap. Now you can be original.
Yeah.
Go back to where you came from. They're doing you a favor, kicking you out of the machine. I mean, that's the only way I can look at it with positivity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with AI, you know? And not that I think it's going to take over the world. It's a box of fucking letters and numbers. People don't realize that. It has a finite distance with which it can operate, and it's anything that we drop into it, and it sits in numbers and letters. The moment it becomes infinite is the moment we should become fucking scared. But in the meantime, we're just shaking a fucking eight ball asking for answers. All the answers are in it. Eight ball has three or four or whatever. You know, AI has quadrillions or whatever the number is, and it multiplies. But it's still just in there. It's not you. It's not me. It doesn't have a heart. Right. It doesn't have the ability to take its pain and put it on canvas or somebody else's pain. And I want to wrap up on something because I think that we're bypassing something very important. Because with clairsentience and synesthesia in your world, I can only imagine that there has to be an overwhelming amount of filtering that you need to do for those individuals that are not in a good state or not of a good character, we'll use the word, something along that line. The ego is tainted, so to speak, right? No chakras. Maybe they look like a black cloud. What does that do to you? Do you have to keep that from becoming your reality? Do you absorb people's feelings when you have to go that deep into them to find them?
That's a great question. Yes, sometimes I think I sort of like roll around. I just had my friend clear my energy for me. So she came around and she's a shaman. So she cleared my chakras for me. And she said, "You're just dirty." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" She goes, "It looks like you rolled around.
Fingerprints on your glass."
Yeah. She's like, "It looks like you rolled around in grass, just getting the grass all off of you." And I had just done an event where I think I did 10 portraits in a row. So I think I had just been rolling around in people's energy and I didn't clear myself afterwards. So I do sometimes.
It's a real thing.
It is a real thing. I mean, you know, when you walk into a room, you can tell
a fight. I did not know. I thought everybody knew. Let's make that the case.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if you were mad, it was at me, even though I believed that everybody in the room, how does everybody in the room not know this person's angry? Right? So the fact that they don't notice that they're angry means they must be angry at whom?
Yep.
And if you're a kid, no matter what somebody feels, if the rest of the room isn't reacting to it, you're the cause.
You're the cause. Yeah. I so relate to that.
And you don't know it until you know.
Yeah.
And you create fear-based personalities, defense mechanisms, fucking ice cream, drugs, whatever the fuck it is. Anything to not be the person that was causing the anger and the other one in the room that nobody else noticed.
No, I know. Isn't that, that's so interesting. And I'm 43. You said you're 47. Like I still have those feelings sometimes of walking into a space and going, "Are you mad at me?" Like, because I just feel like the tension, or I feel what's happening, and it's really hard not to just go, "It must be me."
I gotta bail on situations now. Like, I have to give myself space, and I have a very small circle of people. And that's not that I'm not communicating with the world out there. I love everybody. This is what I do. It's who I am. And I want to share it with everyone. But there are times where I walk away from this and I have to sleep for like in 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a painful interaction, that could be online. Because people reach out to us. You know, they want to be a guest. And, you know, want to be a guest, but I know they can't be a guest.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because that person wants to be heard, but not all people can be heard. I'm only capable of so much.
Right.
You know, the team is only capable of so much. And so that if you're hearing this and you have applied, we love you. Continue. Right. It could be a timing issue. We may be focusing on a particular type of topic. So in those times, we cannot use that particular, you know, situation. That doesn't mean that we won't come back to it, right? Or if that is your story, listen to others and try to grow until it's your time. Write your story on your own and maybe it'll come back around, right? Maybe your story's not done. I see a lot of stories that aren't finished. I see a lot of people that want to tell their victimhood. I have a lot of people that want to sell their past victimhood as a way to get better, right? This whole change your life BS, right? I understand we have to sustain ourselves in a world where we're trying to do good.
Right.
But if you're widgeting shit that people should just know, or that you could just give out of kindness, then you're just wasting everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not creating whatever it is to anything but a paycheck.
Right.
So if I'm consuming your goods, I'm consuming your greed. I'm not consuming your fucking ability to give back. Ooh,
yeah.
That's good. I'm gonna...
I want to write that down. That was a good, soundbite. But I think that's right. I think we're meant to reach our hands back and help people. We're meant to give back. We're meant to help.
So much so. I use keys as the analogy. I think that we're all comprised of an infinite number of locks to enlightenment, and they are in different orders, different types, whatever they are, and that our job is to make our unique key and to continue to make it over and over again and throw it every direction. Just drop them. Do it anywhere you can. And don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back means that you're putting more into it than you should. You just make your art, throw it out there. And when it's their time, they'll find that key. And it may be the first lock, or it may be the last, or it could be 3,782, right?
Yeah.
But it's on the list of locks, right? So you just continue to make them. That's your job. Enjoy doing it. You lucked out, right? Because whoever you are, you have the ability to continue to sustain yourself doing what you love more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will come to your art. They'll come to your art because it's real. We love the artist that puts his soul on the canvas or in your ears. That's mm-hmm. the star. The star is the one that we love until we snuff it out. You know, we love to do that, but that's a whole nother
episode.
I like to tell everybody that comes on here that I believe that we can set an example through who we are and how we love ourselves and how we utilize the time that we're here by being a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
Lighthouse has one job, and that's to be a lighthouse. The lighthouse doesn't need to do anything else, but it always helps. Always affects change in direction, in capabilities. Just continue being a lighthouse. Continue doing what you do. Keep giving people fingerprints to put over their couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because a piece of you is in there, and it's your job to be you. To be anything different is a slap in the face of whomever or whatever made you.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to think you know more, right?
Yep.
So
can I share something
what
really?
We all deserve?
Yes.
And that's your art.
Thank you.
I see you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. You just made me think of something. I'm wearing my grandfather's rings today. And when he came through in a reading one time, he called me a lighthouse.
Stop. That's amazing.
Yeah. So when you said that, it gave me head to toe chills. So thank you for that.
So we got to close on that
today.
Definitely have to close on that.
Perfect. Tell
everybody where they can find you, and we'll list all of your socials and website and anything else in our show notes as well. So go ahead.
Awesome. Well, I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram at Heatherek Artist. And I've got some freebies on my website at heatherek.com/thank you.
/thank you. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever has that at the end of their messages. It's always like, dot, give me your money.
You got to give back. Got to give back.
That said, hey, everybody, make sure you support our sponsors, Podpage. They make our website happen. Go to Into the AM as well. That's where I get all my tees. It's my graphic t-shirt addiction, right? This one here, pink is my color. I love hot pink. Didn't get to wear it as a kid. My thing. And then also, if you can, go to PayPal, go to our link. You can see where you can donate. You have PayPal, buy me a coffee, all that kind of stuff. Anything that you can give us helps us out, allows us to reach more people. And other than that, I think class is over, man. So remember, everybody, be cool and keep learning.